Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dalton played a really good game. You can tell that the defense was really concerned with where he was on any given moment, and it kind of opened it up for some other guys, and I don't think that was maybe necessarily intention, but love to get him going a little earlier. But he had some of the best blocks in the game, and it didn't bother him at all. And so the everyone eats kind of mindset, if people are focusing on him, it opens up for other people. And so I was pleased with, after the game, how excited he was with only one catch or something like that. So obviously he's a good football player, and he helps us when the ball's in his hands, and we'd love to get him more of it, just like a lot of the other guys. But all he cares about is winning, and that's a lot of the guys on our offense.
Joe Brady on Dalton Kincaid. There was a all-22 look. Anthony Prochaska, Anthony Cover One, tweeted out, Kincaid getting a ton of attention on a play. The pass goes off to one of the backs, maybe to Ray Davis on this play.
It might have been the rare quadruple coverage.
Yeah.
And Allen threw it to Ray Davis, who's wide open in the
Everybody like, oh, Kincaid. A lot of focus on Kincaid, which is not a surprise. Like, eventually, teams are going to decide who they want to take away from you. And in week one, Arizona, it was Kincaid, and the Bills were able to distribute the ball around. Joining us on the Western Hotline, Chris Trapasso, to chat about this Bills win. Also, maybe a little bit on the Jets, and I might ask you about Kyle McCord, if I'm honest, Chris. NFL draft and young player analyst at CBS Sports, and a friend of the show. All right, Chris, let's start, actually, if you don't mind. We'll get calls in a moment, too. But on the Jets, I'm going to go ahead and say my fear of the Jets as a legitimate contender. It's week one, I know. But between their defense getting just absolutely steamrolled and Rodgers looking old, like, I'm just not really thinking about the Jets in the same way that I was.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to bring up, that they don't look as ferocious on defense. Obviously, facing the 49ers, even without Christian McCaffrey, is no easy task for any team. But I think it was easy because we got so wrapped up in the Aaron Rodgers saga, and maybe even the Hassan Reddick saga as well. To not have Jordan Whitehead, who had those three interceptions of Josh Allen in week one, no John Franklin Myers, C.J. Mosley goes out for a little bit. They were one of the healthiest defenses throughout the entire year last year. It was easy to kind of forget, and they lost Bryce Huff, who was the guy that just wreaked havoc against this Bills offensive line over the last couple years. To lose those three or four players that were really good on this defense last year, I think it kind of like slipped under the rug that we weren't talking about that enough. I do think Rodgers made a couple nice throws, but your kind of classification there that he looked old, there was a couple times where he had to roll left or roll right away from pressure. He didn't seem as twitchy as he used to be. The ball kind of died as it got to its intended target. So I think this is still a quality team, but you're right, and I feel the same, that in terms of being this really scary, dangerous, complete team in the AFC, it just didn't really feel like that in week one.
How much could the Bills have proven what they are in week one, given the opponent Arizona? Josh Allen put on an MVP performance like he tends to do. Looking at week one for the Bills, pluses, minuses, where do you come out?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I always say that if you look back in even 2 months to week one, like maybe that Patriots game where they beat down the Bengals, they don't really allow Joe Burrow to get going, that may look like one of those weird results that we usually get a few of those. But having said that, I think the Bills kind of showed what they're mostly going to be this season, that at times the defense, because of so many new pieces, so many younger players that just haven't played very much leading into this season, are going to look, you know, out of sorts, not knowing where to line up. There's two guys covering one player in the flat. That leaves someone open on a third down. But then throughout the course of the game, and especially after halftime because of the coaching staff, they can make adjustments. They can maybe play a little bit more man coverage than they have in the past because they're younger, they're more athletic in the secondary. And then on offense, I think the offense is just going to hum. I mean, maybe there was a little bit of a concern from Bills Mafia and Bills fans that they ran the football too much. But I think Joe pointed out yesterday on Twitter that they had the 14th highest neutral run rate in the NFL, pass rate. So it wasn't as though they were just running the ball the entire game. It really just, when it called for it, and they ran it relatively well, not amazingly well, but I thought James Cook looked pretty good and they're going to distribute the football, and Josh Allen is going to be Josh Allen. So for as much as week one usually is a little bit wonky and it takes time for teams to really show their true identity, I thought we got a good glimpse of what we're going to get from the Jets this year in most games, and same with the Bills.
Chris Trapasso on the Western Hotline. Surprised at all with Arizona? You know, it's funny. Like, Chris, they had a good first half, and then it all went away. And their opening touchdown is aided by a personal foul call that probably shouldn't have been one. They featured James Conner. It was so much Conner and nothing to Marvin Harrison, really. Like, it seemed to me like a little bit of a sleepwalky plan for them once the Bills made an adjustment. Arizona did not.
Yeah, and this entire game, there was just not very many receivers for Arizona involved. I mean, it was really the Greg Dortch show. Maybe he's someone that you drafted like in your last round of your fantasy draft after the Zay Jones suspension got handed down. But I think it's hard in today's NFL. I mean, it's so yards after the catch base now. But to just win a game, especially on the road, when you're an underdog, when it's just like throws into the flat, screens, like maybe you can get out to a lead like you're mentioning, but once that opponent makes those halftime adjustments, you need production from your receivers. The Bills saw that even last year when Gabe Davis was having goose eggs and Stephon Diggs down the stretch wasn't really producing at that same level. So it was a very weird game plan for them. It kind of worked for the first half, and I guess pretty well, but I thought Christian Benford, the Bills corners, even to have Jamarcus Ingram being thrown in there, who hasn't played very much but has kind of been this training camp preseason darling over the last couple of years out of UB, was very impressive how they were able to shut down what we were expecting, you know, it was going to be and probably will be a relatively high-scoring Cardinals offense that's going to move the football and wants to move the football vertically down the field with Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr.
In terms of, does it seem like the type of thing that could translate to Thursday for the Bills when you get the Dolphins with a big play offense, what they did defensively, like what I guess is repeat?
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers, from the route trees to who plays better in man or zone. We provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eatable.
From the Bills, do you think?
Yeah, from the Bills.
Yeah, from the Bills. I think in that second half, and a lot of people have pointed this out, I think what's great about having this new access to NFL Pro is that everyone gets, you know, a great look at the All-22 film, and I know that you guys have watched it. I don't know if it was something that will continue throughout the whole season, but in that first half, in terms of the assignments, like I mentioned, there was a couple of those third down conversions that the Bills allowed where there was literally like Cam Lewis, Terrell Bernard, and Dorian Williams like all drifting toward one receiver and leaving like two guys open on the other side. I didn't notice that nearly as much, really, if at all, in the second half, where they seemed like they were dropping to the right assignments in coverage. Like I said, they sprinkled in some man. I don't know how much man you want to play against the Dolphins, but I think if the communication is there, given the familiarity that they have with Mike McDaniel's offense and what Tua likes to do and just the speed that they're going to have to deal with that they've dealt with for the last 2 years with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, I think the second half is transferable. Now, maybe early on there'll be some new wrinkles that McDaniel's throwing in there, some motioning that he hasn't done in the past that could maybe create some of those, you know, in-space plays for all that speed. But I feel like this is a kind of year, what, three of this rivalry where McDermott does know what this offense wants to be. And while it may take some of these younger guys time to get there, the communication was so much better in the second half. So that's a good sign for Thursday.
Chris Trapasso joining us in the Western Hotline. You hear and see him a lot on One Bills Live, filling in from time to time. And, of course, joining us here in the afternoons with draft coverage as well. Chris, let's get a rookie report on the Bills, if you would. Keon Coleman, Ray Davis, you know, those two primarily are making the biggest headlines. Coleman with a catch that many will expect to see him make over the years. And I guess it wasn't surprised, but leading the team in targets was not something I necessarily had as an expectation. The Cardinals take away Kincaid and they move the ball elsewhere, but leading the team in targets, catches, and yards, I don't know how often that will happen, but it was a really strong start for Coleman.
Yeah, definitely was. And again, this is coming from someone that was not very high on him. I didn't love when the Bills made that selection. But to your first point, when they took that deep shot down the field, I don't know if they have to always take that every game, but whether it's deep down the field, whether it's, I mean, the dreaded fade in the end zone or on a third down, just throwing the back shoulder, I think they should give Keon Coleman those opportunities, because not in his final season at Florida State, but the year before at Michigan State, he was very good in those contested catch situations. He's big. He has the vertical close to 40 inches. And he's not going to create a ton of separation by himself. There was one other play where I think, like, late in the game where Josh Allen threw that little dump down to Ray Davis, like, at his feet on a third down, where Coleman did get a good release off the line and was screaming down the middle of the field, which would have been for a touchdown. So it was a very encouraging start for him. And like you're mentioning, I don't think anyone expected him to lead the team in targets. I think that was maybe due to the lack of, you know, we didn't really see a lot from Curtis Samuel. I thought he would maybe be more of the beneficiary, along with Khalil Shakir, to all the kind of expected, maybe not to the degree, but the expected centering for that defense on Dalton Kincaid in this game.
When you look back at Shakir, and this being year three, he makes that touchdown play on Sunday. It's only a couple of targets, but twice, Chris, he's bouncing off players, and it's contact balance, right? And I wonder for you, like, was that always kind of in the film for him, even going back to college? And how much do you think he's grown in the yak department since he entered with the Bills as a rookie?
I think he's gotten a little better, but yes, it, like, going back to Boise State when I scouted him, I was like, this guy is made for the modern day NFL. I think I had like a third round grade on him. I just thought, throw him underneath passes. He's pretty quick. He had surprising speed. He ran under 4.5 at the combine, so he's not someone that can't create vertically down the field. We saw that a little bit last year. But yeah, this is my obligatory comment on yards after the catch coming on this network, it's something the Bills have needed. We saw the little graphic last night in the Monday Night Football game that the Chiefs, 49ers, and I think the other team was the Rams since 2017, lead the NFL in yards after the catch per reception. That's, you know, the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan coaching tree there, of course, and then obviously Andy Reid. The Bills last few years have gotten better from being at the bottom of the league, and I think that just speaks to what Khalil Shakir can do, and that he should be, and he's kind of earned, I think, a bigger role in this offense. I didn't necessarily see all the contact balance with bouncing off players as frequently at Boise State. He did it a little bit, but in terms of the quickness and the power, when you combine those together with vision, that's when you're going to get a lot of those yards after the catch where a third and five can turn into a touchdown on a very high percentage throw for Josh Allen.
Chris Trapasso on the Western Hotline. Just another minute or two here with Chris. You know, this game against Miami, it's a big one. It's week two, and I want to be careful not to say it means more for the Dolphins than it does for the Bills, but, you know, it's kind of like this is a version of Bills-Chiefs where, you know, the Bills always beat Miami in the important game, and the Chiefs, while the Bills beat them in the regular season, the Chiefs kind of have this over the Bills as well.
Yep.
Like, you, if you're Miami, it's got to feel like you have to have this one.
I totally agree. I think with how they played in week one, and I know Joe is just beside himself that how close the Jaguars were to being 24-7, and then they ultimately lose that game. They were within, like, what, 2 or 3 yards mm-hmm. from taking that big lead in the third quarter. If you have that game and then the Bills come in and Josh Allen has another, you know, perfect passer rating or something like that, like well over 100 passer rating, and they score 40 points, and even if you lose in the shootout, you've got to feel like, man, what can we do to beat this team when it really matters, which facing them twice a year and to lose at home, I think you're right, Jeremy, to say that this game does probably mean a little bit more to the Dolphins than the Bills. What I do want to see in this game, just very quickly, I want to see 4th and 2, 4th and 3, late in the game, to get back to Sean McDermott being aggressive, going for it, because I do tend to think that this will be a higher scoring game, and I don't know how much the Bills are going to be able to totally bottle up this Dolphins offense.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.